I'm Victoria, and this podcast is all about running, marathon training, and run coaching. It is packed with useful tips to help you grow as a runner. I am a 13-time Boston qualifier and mom of two who started running as an adult. I learned a lot on my journey, and in 2014, I launched an online run coaching business to help other runners. Now, we employ several run coaches and are one of the largest online run coaching companies. We teach you the secrets to reaching your potential in the sport of running. We give real talk discussing personal stories of injuries, setbacks, and PRs. Think of this as a conversation with serial marathoners who share the lessons that we learned along the way. This is the Run for PRs podcast. Run streaks, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Run streaks. Maybe you have seen people on social media talking about their 1,000-day run streaks, or maybe you have no idea what a run streak even is. Today we are going to be talking about the topic of run streaking. Before we dive into this topic, I want to define what a run streak is. A run streak is simply running every single day with no days off from running, usually defined with a minimum of 1 mile per day, and the streak usually continues on indefinitely. Sometimes there's a set endpoint, but the idea is that you just run every day. And some people have these really long run streaks, like 6 years, 7 years, 5,000 days, whatever it may be. There are also some people that participate in shorter run streaks. I know the Runner's World run streak that happens every year over the holiday season tends to be pretty popular. I'm not sure the exact dates on it, but I think it's somewhere like the month of December, or you do from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day or something. These types of run streaks are a little bit different because they have that defining endpoint, but there's a lot of run streakers out there where there's no defined endpoint and they're just going forever. So we just wanted to talk a little bit about this topic. I feel like it's not really talked about on a lot of run podcasts or in the coaching community. We're going to share some random stats about some run streaks, because I mean, the first time I heard of it, I just thought, you know, the longest someone's probably done this is maybe like a year or two, but there's some crazy people out there that have been doing this for decades. And so we're just going to shed some light about like some of the records here. And then we're going to dive into, you know, some more coaching related questions, I guess you could say, and just kind of giving our expertise and our opinions on things. There's really no right or wrong. You'll maybe get our opinions on this, but you know, everyone kind of has their own different goals. So we'll approach it from like, what are your goals and how this could be either helpful or harmful depending on that. And also just like warning signs to look out for, because anytime you're doing something really extreme, like even when you eliminate certain food groups, right? I know there's some popular diets out there where you just completely eliminate certain food groups. And I think whenever you have that extremist view, it's really important to kind of make sure things are in check and make sure you're not getting down certain rabbit holes that could set you up for failure, right? So we want to talk a little bit about some of the bad things that could happen. So we'll be discussing why someone would want to start a run streak and maybe what some of the potential benefits of a run streak are. We will also be talking about what the potential downsides of that same run streak would be. We're going to talk a little bit about mental physical burnout. We're going to talk a little bit about how long these run streaks can go and how that might keep you a little bit invested in some of the issues there. We're also going to talk a little bit about there are certain categories of people that should maybe avoid run streaks. And so that's kind of like some people have really addictive personalities. I am one of those people and I'm not really good at moderation. And so anything that's having me do something that's a little bit extreme like this, probably not a good thing for me to do. So we'll talk a little bit about the type of people who should avoid run streaks or like how you know it could be problematic for you. All right, so kicking things off, Jason, you have some fun facts about some of these world record breaking run streakers. Talk to me a little bit about some of the stats you found.
Yeah, so really interesting. I didn't know there was a United States Running Streak Association.
Oh, yeah.
So that was established in the year 2000.
Has to be at least a year, right?
Correct, yeah.
365 days.
That was established around the year 2000. And so, you know, there are 4,000, roughly 4,100 run streakers that are on the site. So people that have had a run streak for at least 1 year.
How many people are?
4,111 are actually on the site. So I guess you know, you could seek them out and then submit your stats and be on the site. And then they'll probably track it for you as long as you continue to, you know, maintain your run streak.
So what if you, like, let's say you hit like day 400 or whatever, and you're on the site, do you have to like let them know that you quit or
how
does that
work? That's a good question. I didn't read the about, like how that's tracked, but, so this is all tracked on runeveryday.com, which is kind of cool because you can see current streaks and you can also see expired streaks. So streaks from the past. And one thing that I found was unique is they nickname like each range. So from, I think it's 1 to 5 years is the first. And let me scroll all the way back so I can tell you what that is. There's a ton of people in this range, and that's why it takes so long. Neophytes is considered the name that they give those people. So that makes up for, oh gosh, about, I'm just going to, 3,000 of those streakers. So 1 to 5 years. Then we go up 6 to 10, and this is given the nickname... I just had it here. Here it is. Proficient. So 5 to 10 years, proficient. Then the next range is 10 years to experience, 10 years to 15. So then you become experienced, and then it goes up. There's a highly skilled, then the masters, dominators is in there. Oh, masters, gosh. It was interesting, that starts at 30 years. And then there's the grandmasters from 35 to 40. And then 40 to 45 is the legends. And then any range after that, they start to nickname after the people that have done the challenge. So that was kind of cool. So it's like a tribute to them. So 45 to 50 years, they call it the coverts, because there was a person by the last name of Covert who reached that total. And then after that, it was the hills, which was a guy that that ran 50 plus years. So currently there are 4 people that are on that one, 50 plus years. So the longest streak currently right now is a 72-year-old from Utah. He's ran 53 years, which is 19,532 days.
Okay, that's insane. So he started it when he was like 29.
Yep.
And he's just ran every... So 1969 was when he started his run streak. Yeah, that is crazy.
So there's 4 people in that 50-year plus range, and then there's 13 people that are 45 to 50 years. So you can see, you know, all these people are in their 60s and 70s, but...
Well, what's interesting about this is, okay, so, like, these people started their run streak in, like, 1971 to 1969. Like, there was no social media back then. Like, I just wonder how they knew they were running every day, or if they, do you think they, like, intentionally set out to run every day, or do you think they just realized, like, I haven't taken a rest day? Like, I wonder just how that all went down.
You know, it could have just started with, like, the whole physical challenge, right? Like, I want to see if I can do this every day for a month, and then turn into a year, and then... eventually it becomes like something that they don't want to break. I guess I kind of question, like, what about those days where you just, like, we all get sick, right, on occasion. What about those days where, I know, it just sounds so crazy to me, like, thinking about, you know, there's been days I've had such terrible viruses where I'm like, I feel like I'm on my deathbed, but the fact of going out, or the thought of going out and running a mile, that just sounds terrible. But
And more so, like, okay, these people are all in their 70s besides the 67-year-old. Like, more so impressive that they've never had, like, a surgery, hospital stay, like, some sort of thing that they needed to actually... Yeah, because, like, if you're in the hospital with surgery or something like that, I mean, it's just amazing that you can go so long without issue. But, again, I do think there is... You know, when you're getting... I'm sure these people have ran through, like, having a fever or just ran... during times where maybe it's questionable, right? And so I guess that's why we're having this podcast, because there are some, like, questionable things that you're probably running through if you've been running for every day for 50 years, right? I mean, there's so much going on. And then I think there's, so for the female, how long was her run streak, the longest female run streak, or what is it?
So for active women right now, that's 42 years. Lois Bastien,
like, that's insane.
From Florida. She's 86, and she's still keeping it going.
So she started in her 40s. So she probably started, like, maybe after she was done having kids. But I follow this girl on Instagram, and she, I think she's like in her 40s, like 41 maybe. She's had a run streak for almost 20 years, and so she kept going her run streak like after giving birth twice and while she was in labor. So, and she will even admit, like, okay, that was a little, like, you're definitely not supposed to do that, right? So just in case anyone's listening, you are not supposed to be running after giving birth. Like, it's like the number one thing, do not do this for at least like 4 to 6 weeks is usually when the best people will get cleared to run, right? Like the best case scenario after birth. And so if you're running after doing something like that, I mean, you're risking potentially like hemorrhaging, you're risking pelvic floor issues, right? And I think she knows that, and she will even admit, like, was it smart? No, but I wanted to keep the streak alive. And so it's interesting to me that people will admit, like, yeah, this is not a great idea, but I had this run streak, I was dedicated to it, and I had to do it. And so she's, yeah. I mean, she's like a 3:17 marathoner or something like that.
So how old is she now, do you think?
42. Okay. But she only runs, like, now she runs like 2-3 miles a day.
Whereas, she's been on there for how long?
18 years, maybe.
Oh, wow.
17, 18, 19.
There's somebody on here who's age 37, and she's in the 20 to 25 year highly skilled range already.
Oh, wait. So it's that would be her. She started hers when she was 16.
It could be her.
So it could. Okay.
From Indiana.
That's probably who it is.
But yeah, I was scrolling down, and I just, that age popped out to me. So I'm like, it's rare you see someone that young.
Yeah, I bet that's far up.
There are a lot of women in their 40s who are on the 15 to 20 years.
Right, because like maybe after you're done having kids. Yeah, and that's the really big questionable one, because like,
that person's a yoga teacher too, which is interesting. The 37-year-old.
Oh yeah, that is her, because she said she did yoga teacher training in like India.
She's on the site. So that's the thing is like people, I wonder if people like find out about this somehow, kind of like Marathon Maniacs, for example, and they just kind of want to be a part of it, right? Like it's sort of an exclusive club. I didn't even know this site really existed until we started doing research for this particular podcast. But the other thing that I thought was cool about the site is so they have the retired streaks, and then they have it by each country, the breakdown. So if you want to look at, and the countries on here are the US, UK, Canada, Sweden, Germany, Australia, New Zealand, Denmark, Norway, and some other countries. But it was just kind of cool to see that this sort of thing exists, and that this got started, you know, 22 years ago now, 23 years ago. So
okay, yeah, that's interesting, because the girl, you know, going back to the person who started when she was 16, she has like the however many year run streak. She started as a teenager, and she, like, her story she shares on Instagram, this is all stuff she shared publicly, that she just started it because she was really like inconsistent, I guess, like with her cross country, and she wanted to get better, and she was just really frustrated. And then she was like, you know what, I'm just gonna run every day, like at least 1 mile. And she just did it for like 1 year, and then it just continued from there. And I don't think she ever really like intended it to be something like that, but then once you kind of get going, it's hard to break the cycle. So I guess we will chat a little bit more about that in detail, potential side effects of that. But yeah, basically, like, why would someone start a run streak, right? So what are some of the potential benefits? I have had 2 run streaks. I don't necessarily think that they're like smart, you know, like, so when I share this, it's like, I just did it for my own, you know, random mental reasons. It helps with consistency. It just like helps me kind of get out of like a mental funk, I guess, in the consistency piece. And I've had one that was like 550 days and then another one that was like 440-ish days. And why would someone start? I guess one of them started because I had actually had an incident where like I fell off a riding bowl at my bachelorette party and like sliced open my foot, and so I couldn't run for several weeks, and I was pretty upset. And then when I started running again, I was running and I ended up running like 3 weeks without a rest day, because I don't know why, I was just like, oh, I missed running so much. And then all of a sudden I was like, whoa, if I've gone this far, maybe I could keep going to like 100 days. And then all of a sudden 100 turned into 200, and it just started spiraling. Yep. Then once I hit 365 days, like, it just kind of kept going. And then that's when things started to get weird, because I was like, there's no end, right? Like, there's no end here. Eventually I did break it because I got pretty sick, and I was just sick of running through being sick, because it's just not like super healthy to be doing that to your body. So there are some benefits there, right? So that first run streak, obviously it helped with consistency, because before that I was having maybe some difficulty getting out the door regularly, or you just, oh, there's always a reason like not to run, right? So I think having that run streak made me realize like, hey, even on days where like I'm really tired or I just don't feel like it, I'm still able to get out the door. And actually, once I do get out the door, I feel better than I thought I would. It also maybe helped me increase my mileage slightly. And so there's some benefits there. But I think the benefits that you get from run streaking, everything I just mentioned, you can get from doing other things as well, not necessarily having to run every day habitually like that. Because there were some days where like I felt like absolute garbage and I was like, why am I running? And you know this quote is, you always feel better after every run. That's when I first started to realize like, no, that's actually not the case. There were many runs where I did and then afterwards I actually felt worse. And that's just like not a good habit to be in. It's definitely your body telling you something. And when I think you're not allowed to listen to your body, you're more likely to start overriding things like that, and it can lead to injury and burnout. And so I had that first 550-day streak. I saw great improvement the first year. The second year, very crash and burny. I was blowing up in races. And then even I quit my run streak, and still my performance continued to tank. And so I think there's just a lot of things that I could say about that, but I definitely think there's a correlation there between me not listening to my body for several months, several years almost, and then all of a sudden the performance starting to tank several years into that. And then I almost had to like retrain myself, hey, it's okay to take a rest day. This is actually an optimal part of training. So I do think while yes, there are some benefits, there's definitely some downsides. So you've had, what's interesting, Jason, is you've had some people that you coach that do run streaks for like a year or like a set date or like 30. I have a lot of people who do like the runner's world 30 day ones. What benefits do you see from those athletes, or like at what point do you feel like it's kind of pointless?
Yeah, great question. I guess, you know, of the athletes I've seen do them, it's good for accountability, right? So they, it just, you start to make it part of your routine. And that's probably what the people that are on these sites are on this site that have a streak. You know, it just becomes like something that they prioritize, just as eating or going to the bathroom. Like they have to figure out like, when am I going to do this run today? And at a point, yeah, you could, you know, it's questionable if you want to debate that it becomes like unhealthy or whatnot. But I think for a lot of my athletes, they have an end date in mind, just so that they know that it doesn't like take over their whole life. Like it's not a permanent thing, but it was long enough where they, you know, they got the discipline and the sort of the other things that come along with it that they were hoping to get. And so I think, you know, they're really just doing it as a way to kind of propel their training and set a goal or a challenge. So, you know, if you were able to accomplish this goal, whether it's a streak of a month or a year, then when you'd set your next goal, whether it's like a more of a time-based goal or another training, you know, volume goal or whatever it is, you're hopefully more likely to achieve that. And so that's kind of what I've seen, is that it just helps sort of adopt these you know, everyday behaviors that can apply to future goals.
Right. Yeah, I think there can be some of those upsides. Definitely used to running on like fatigued legs, or like just the whole idea of, I mean, we live in a really comfortable society where, you know, there's air conditioning, there's heat, you sit at nice desks, everything's ergonomical. Like, we really aren't used to having daily discomforts, right? I mean, think about it. We get to eat whenever we want. We have food. You can get food delivered to your house. Everything is just so easy for us these days. And I think when you incorporate something that's maybe challenging, right? And that could come in a number of different ways. For some people, it's like, you know, just participating in exercise. But for others, it's like they want more of a challenge. And so that's why you sometimes see people signing up for things like 100-mile races or like ultra marathons or really challenging themselves with like crazy goals. And then for other people, it's like they don't really like to have everything be in that one isolated event, right? Like that's maybe too much pressure, or it's just not what they're into. And so they find these other goals, maybe like a run streak, or I know some of those, like the Yeti challenge, where it was like run every 4 hours for 24 hours and cover whatever 30 miles. There's just some things out there that are fun challenges for people. And I think it's okay to give yourself those challenges and to kind of have those goals in front of you, but also be okay with setting like an end date and like an end goal for that. Because otherwise it's like you're just putting yourself through it for so long. And for some people, maybe they like to do it their whole life, but right. I definitely have a lot of friends in the running community where they reached a point after several years where they would verbalize that they hate doing it, that they don't want to do it. And then it's like, well, you can just stop.
Right. It'd be really interesting to sort of either survey the people that are on the streak or even just talk to them in person and find out sort of that thing. Or if you've known them along the way, like, you know, their tendencies, like, did they always enjoy it or were there times where they hated it, or was it kind of just every now and then there was that one day that was really tough for them? What was it, you know? Because I think you do have to be, you have to have a certain personality or, you know, be wired a certain way to go out and do this for this long, you know?
Right, definitely. And that's just getting into some of, like, maybe the downsides of the streak, right? I think there are some people who they start doing it. Like me, for example, I started doing it. I was really into it the first year of my first streak, like the first 365 days. And then I just got to a point where I was like, I don't want to do this, but I also felt like I couldn't quit because there was really no... Oh, this is why. There was no good reason to quit. Right. Because I was like, dude, I've ran through so much stuff for the past year. Days I didn't feel like it, days where I was borderline sick, you know, just like stupid stuff. And then you start realizing like there is no excuse to not run. And so then you kind of get in this mindset of like, oh my gosh, I have to. And you start feeling like guilty and stuff like that. And I was like, man, this isn't a super healthy thing. And eventually that's why I ended up breaking it. But again, I went to almost 200 more days of not really wanting to do it, but forcing myself to do it. So I do think there are some potential downsides. No rest days in general is problematic, right? You might be able to get away with it for a while, but I see what happens to a lot of people who have the run streaks is what will happen. No rest days is problematic for a number of reasons, but the first and foremost being a lot of this podcast that we talk about other episodes, we're trying to help people like reach their potential in the sport because that's a lot of what people come to us for, right? Like they want to run a fast marathon. They want to run further than they've ever ran before. They really want to test their limits in terms of performance for a specific event. And so if you're not allowing yourself to ever have rest days, even like after a really big race or after a big training cycle, you're not able to polarize your training. So the big coin term by Steve Magnus is stress plus rest equals growth. If you're only having the stress and you're never having that rest, you're not going to be able to grow. And so you might be able to get away with it for a while, but eventually, you know, if you do, for example, if you're training for a marathon, right? So this is the big thing for me. I used to run straight through a marathon. I used to not take the time off if I was run streaking. And I just realized like, wow, that was really setting me back because I wasn't giving myself like a proper off season. And while yes, physically I could run after a marathon, it was not the wisest thing to do. And so you really want to make sure that what you're doing on a day-to-day basis is in alignment with your long-term goals. So if you say, hey, my long-term goal is to break 3 hours in the marathon, which is kind of what my long-term goal was, but then there I was like not taking any sort of rest after a marathon and just run streaking all the way through, I wasn't giving myself the best optimal training to hit that goal. And that's something you really want to look at if you do start incorporating some of these like run streaks. Just know that it can be holding you back if you're not allowing yourself to rest. And while I know it is physically possible to run after a marathon or like in your off season when you're supposed to be resting, it's not always the wisest decision for your long-term success. You're actually going to recover faster and build back stronger if you take that time off. If you're constantly digging yourself into this well and never really giving proper recovery, it's going to become really hard for you to reach that potential.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to taking rest days. You know, just to summarize, the biggest two would be just for your overall aerobic fitness, your threshold and just not feeling burnt out, right? And so you get benefits to your metabolic systems by taking rest days. And then the other one would be like the structural benefits. So, you know, your muscular system, the tendons, coordination, all that. So, you know, giving your body, you know, 5 days off or whatever, or even like 1 day off every month, you're not going to lose any fitness. And so, you know, studies show it can take at least 10 days or longer to start to decline any amount of fitness. So a lot of times we'll recommend after like a marathon, you know, taking 1 to 2 weeks off and then just slowly doing some maintenance miles, you know, until you figure out what you want to do next. And so that's, that's sort of our philosophy on rest days and trying to promote them. And, you know, each athlete is going to be on their own path as far as how many rest days are going to take a week or a month or whatnot. But, you know, you have to think that sometimes if you don't ever rest, it can lead to some of these OCD tendencies like you were talking about and feeling that need to run through injury or illness, which over time could result in like poor performance or being forced to take some extended time off.
Absolutely. And another thing that's worth mentioning is that 7 days a week of running, I mean, we're obviously on a running podcast, so like people listening, they run and stuff, and maybe that's kind of normalized. Yeah, I know some people run 7 days a week. That's insane, right? I mean, that's a lot of stress on your body. And from someone that maybe you just started running or maybe you've been running for like 4 or 5 years, right? Some people can never build up to being able to run 7 days a week. So let me repeat it again. Some people can never build up to that. And what I mean by that is if they do that, they will get injured. And so I think it's really tough when we're in an age of social media and you can see what everyone else is doing. You see that people are doing a run streak and you're like, oh, I want to try one. I've been running for, you know, 4 or 5 years. And then all of a sudden you try and boom, stress fracture, boom, injury. And it's hard not to like look at other people like, oh, well, this person's been doing a run streak for 20 years. How do they handle it? It's like they're lucky. They're unicorns. And I would say that most people, it's just not going to be a viable option. It takes a really, really long time to build up to the capacity of even running 5 days a week, let alone six, let alone seven.
Right.
And the other thing that goes hand in hand with that is I think in general, people struggle enough with slowing down on their easy days as is. If you're adding and you're going 7 days a week of running, you absolutely, anyone that has a run streak would confirm, you absolutely need to have days where you're going like 6 minutes per mile slower than marathon pace. Like you're jogging. Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe that could be a potential benefit, right? Like you learn how to actually slow down on your easy days. But I think also when a lot of people start these run streaks, they don't slow down enough. And so that could be what's causing some of this injury burnout situation. Right. So it's almost like a double-edged sword. It's like, yes, there could be a potential benefit there, but I think most people would end up getting hurt before they even achieve said benefit.
Right. And if you're someone that has always only ran like, let's say 3 days a week or maybe 4 days a week, and you want to do a run streak, you know, the best way to approach that, obviously don't commit to like a year right off the bat because you don't know how your body's going to adapt. But on those extra days where you're running, just do a mile. Do the bare minimum so that you check the box, but that you are going to hopefully allow your body time to recover. And that's where a lot of these people, I mean, you never know what they started with when they started these streaks. Like it could have just been a mile every day, or it could have been, you know, maybe they're running 30 miles a week already or 40 miles a week before they even started. So then their body could handle it a little bit better. But
well, what's really interesting about that, yeah, there's like this guy on TikTok that'll pop up on my For You page, and He's not someone that like runs half marathons, 5Ks. He doesn't do races, none of that. So he's just like a guy that goes out and he runs 1 mile every morning. That's it. That's all he does. 1 mile every morning. And he has a streak. He's been doing it for like 5,000 days. And so it's like, but all he's doing is 1 mile every morning. And so while, yeah, it's super impressive that you've done it for 5,000 days, you have to keep in mind that if you're someone who is training for like 2 marathons a year, right, and you're trying to run every single day, that looks so much different than this one guy who's running 1 mile. It's that 7 miles a week. It's not that, I mean, yeah, it's impressive, but it's only 7 miles a week. If you're training for a marathon, you're running like 50 miles a week and you're making your body run every single day, like with no days off, that's insane. I mean, that's so much stress on your body. And so while your body might hold up physically, like I'm someone that is not injury prone. I've maybe had like one running related injury in my entire 12 years of competitive running. And it was something like plantar fasciitis where my doctor was like, yeah, you can run through it. I've never had a bone related injury. It's very rare, right, to find someone that doesn't get injured. And so that's why it's tough, because a lot of people who have these run streaks, they are people like me who are just so durable that their bodies can hold up. But for most people, it's like you're probably going to get hurt doing something like that. I mean, think of how many people get injured when they are incorporating like 2-3 rest days a week. It's such a high impact sport, right? Like your body's making contact with the ground, and I think the force is like 3 times your body weight every time, like slamming down. It's an intense sport. So having those rest days, can really be beneficial. The other thing that doesn't really get talked about that much is also like the mental burnout, right?
Right.
So I have a lot of friends that like, could they probably run more miles? Absolutely. But do they? No, because they don't want to, because they don't like running 5 days a week. They don't like running 7 days a week. They just liked running maybe more for fun. Or they find that if they're running more than 4 days a week, it turns into more of a chore and they don't want to do it. And then they aren't as excited for their race. And so you really have to balance like what is the perfect load for you to do both mentally and physically. So even if your body physically could run 50 miles a week, maybe just with everything you have on your plate, like you have kids, you have a busy job, you have travel, you have all of these other interests and hobbies. Maybe realistically, you can only run 20 miles a week without getting burnt out. And that's something you really want to think about when you're incorporating something like this, is this going to mentally jazz you up and get you more excited? Or is it just going to run you down and make you hate running? And so I think what a lot of these people, these streakers probably have in common is that it probably like jazzes them up. It's like, it's like when I get my morning coffee every morning, I'm like, oh, I love it. Like, it's the best thing in the world. But some people are like, oh, take it or leave it. I don't care about coffee. For these run streakers, they're probably like, oh my gosh, the run is the best time of my day. I love it. It's like my meditation. And they've probably dropped a lot of the performance-related goals. It's probably just about going out there. It's the ritual more so than, oh, I'm doing this because it's going to make me faster. Because I would say, you know, if you have a 50-year run streak, like, no, you're not – you didn't do it because you wanted to like get faster, right?
Right. Yeah, it'd be interesting too to survey the ones who let their streaks expire, you know, to see what was mainly the reason. Was it more of like a mental reason, or was it something physical where they just couldn't do the run that day? But I think a lot of times it would be mental, right? They reach a point where they don't want it to continue, right? And so, you might lose that joy without having like these occasional mental breaks with your running, right? And then you know, sometimes too, like you talk about the performance, how that might suffer if you're always worried about the mileage and you're not focused about like your workouts and how to polarize your training and setting yourself up to, you know, have like a peak and a taper and all that. So, there's definitely a lot of mental and, mental effects that go along with just the physical effects we talked about too.
Definitely. And a lot of people think it's like mentally tough to have the run streak. And while yes, it is, I think it can also be mentally challenging for someone who has the tendency to want to do a run streak to actually not participate. So you almost have to like work a different mental muscle and like resist that urge, because deep down, like, you want to keep doing it. You want to be like so consistent, follow that routine, but it's almost like you have to sit in that discomfort of, nope, today actually you're not going to run. You're taking a week off after the marathon. And a lot of people don't like that because it makes them antsy. They're out of their routine. But sitting with that discomfort, it allows you an opportunity to kind of look within, like, why am I so uncomfortable? And just figuring out other ways to maybe cope with your stress instead of like, oh, okay, I'm just going to go on a run. It's almost like a your compulsion to get out the door instead of wondering like, oh, what is this feeling, and kind of sitting with it. And again, the longer you go, the harder it is to break. So I know when I was really deep into mine, it wasn't even really that long, but viewing rest as like a failure, because you're like, oh, well, I made it this far. Like, I don't want to break it. That sort of thing. It's definitely not a healthy mindset. And then, there's too much of a good thing, right? I remember when I first had my 550-day run streak, I was still working as an accountant, and the CFO had like found out, oh, like, you have this run streak. And he was like asking me questions because he was genuinely like confused, like, what is a run streak, right? And I remember like my coworkers and I were all telling them like, oh no, she runs every day, blah, blah, blah. And he just like stared at me and was like, it kind of sounds like OCD. And I was like, no, he just doesn't get it, right? But now, in hindsight, like 7 years later, I'm like, oh my gosh, it kind of, you know, it really was, because it's like I would get this thought and I would be like, oh, I have to go on a run. And it was almost like a compulsion. Like, I had no control, because even in my head, I was like, it's probably not smart to go on a run today. Like, I just ran a marathon, or like, I really want a rest day. But this like compulsion came over me, like, I have to do it. And so that's, I mean, debatably not exactly healthy either. And so he was, you know, kind of, it was interesting to be challenged in that way. And now I kind of realize that there can be some problems when you're doing stuff like that. So people who should avoid run streaks, definitely someone like me, people who maybe are like highly anxious type A, because it's like, you're going to be more likely to view it as a, like a failure if you take a day off. And then people who feel like they don't have other coping strategies. This one's really huge, not always talked about. I think our dietitian, like a year ago, kind of did a nice reel about this. She was like, if you cannot take a few days off after your marathon because you view running as your quote unquote only stress reliever, or like it's your therapy or stress reliever, then you do not have enough coping strategies. Mm-hmm. Like, we do as humans need other coping strategies besides running, because there may be a time where running does get taken away from you, and that could look in the form of like finding out you have cancer, having to have multiple surgeries. That would be an extremely stressful time in your life, and you have to imagine, like, if running was the only thing that you could do to cope with your stress, that would not be a good time to figure out, like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do with all of this new stress when mm-hmm. I don't have my one outlet, my one coping skill? Same with giving birth, right? Same thing. I was someone that, oh, I'll just run. And then it's like, oh, postpartum, huge stress, right? Like, obviously a good stress, but it's all new. It's a learning curve. It's a stressful event. And me, after having my first kid like 5-6 years ago, it was like, whoa, I don't have any other coping mechanisms besides running. And so sometimes people find that out the hard way. But I think this can open up that conversation of like, what are some other things that we can do that are not running that can help us cope with this stress? So if you physically or if you mentally feel like you cannot take time off after a marathon, that's definitely, in my opinion, a red flag that you probably don't have other coping skills for stress. And I don't think that's like a terrible thing. I think that's just pretty, it's probably pretty common. And I think mm-hmm. looking into research of like, what are some other things that I can do? Journaling, meditation, yoga, going on walks. And I know a lot of people are probably thinking like, oh my God, no, it won't work. It's really stupid. But you do need to develop other tools mm-hmm. in your toolbox, I think. And it's, you're doing it almost for like the future version of you, and just for any tough times that might come ahead in your future, it's good just to have more things in your arsenal rather than, oh, I'm just gonna go on a run.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't have a lot to add to that because it was really well said, but like a few words that stood out was like that compulsion, right? That compulsive yes. need to do it. And it's good to have other coping mechanisms so that you feel like you have control over your own like anxious thoughts, right? Like who wants to be a victim to their own, no. like, oh, I need to do this. Like, it's good to have that self-control and to like have other tools in your toolbox so that you can rely on them. Yeah, because you just never know like what could come up that could not allow you to, you know, get you running that day or whatnot. So it's really good to think about like other forms of outlets that you could have, or even like other challenges that you could do to, you know, if it's more of like, this is too easy, or I need something physical. Like if you're a physical person, like I know you noticed or you mentioned how like you have all this extra energy, right? When you're either tapering or recovering from a marathon, but and then you find a different outlet to like put that energy towards, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe you go on walks or you do yoga or you know, you like do things that have maybe you put off over time, like whether it's cleaning or cooking or whatnot. And just so like finding other outlets, I think, is really valuable.
Right. Well, and then another thing is like, I think back in the day when I felt like I didn't really do a great job tapering because I would be like so anxious and be like, oh, I need to, you know, run and stuff mm-hmm. and not take time off. A lot of that was related to like being so nervous about the race, I think. And so I'd have like all these uncomfortable feelings of like, oh my gosh, what if I don't hit my goal? Like I'm so blah, blah, blah. And so instead of like sitting with those feelings and asking myself like, oh, why am I having these feelings? Or just thinking about that, reflecting and just realizing what's going on inside my head and being okay sitting with those uncomfortable thoughts for 10, 15 minutes as they pass by. Instead, what I would do is be like, oh, no, I'm going to go out. You know, I'm not going to think about that. I'm just going to, like, push through and it'll boost my confidence. And then those feelings were always still there. They were making me so anxious and nervous and fearful. But I never actually sat down and been like, where is this coming from? How can I use this to maybe get better, right? So in future mm-hmm. races, in my last couple training cycles, when I have those feelings of discomfort, it'll be like, oh, like I'm so nervous, I'm not gonna hit my goal. And then I'm like, why does it matter if you hit your goal or not? And so just reflecting on, where are these feelings coming from? And so sometimes it's like, well, I'm afraid if I don't hit my goal, like people will be disappointed. And then you go, no, people aren't going to be disappointed, right? And so it's just more about learning more about yourself. And I think when you sit with your feelings and you dissect it and you're being mindful, you're able to process through things better. And that in and of itself can be like a coping strategy, right? I think in our culture, for sure, we do not like to sit with our feelings, and even just to talk about them is uncomfortable. So I think that can even be a strategy you can use, is just being okay sitting with feelings of discomfort and knowing that they will pass, right? And there are some people who have these run streaks, and I know that they maybe have like impending surgeries that they need or wanting to have children, and then they put these things off because they have like a run streak or because of like running related goals. And so definitely something to think about, and just challenge yourself with, hey, like what are really the things I need to be doing, and prioritizing those things is definitely important, and not letting things get like carried away.
Yeah, it's really well said. And thinking about just how, getting back to like the compulsion, the need to do the run, and, you know, thinking about something else that you wanted to get done that you didn't do. A lot of times what happens, you realize like, oh, it wasn't really that big of a deal. The next day the sun still comes up, right? Like you still go on in life, and you need to kind of frame it up that way with your run too, and just try to look at it from that perspective, and that you will be okay. And I know that's tough to, you know, if you're already on a streak, to think about it coming to an end, but just if you have like that really unhealthy relationship with it, like we talked about. But yeah, it's something I can't relate as well to, just because I've never really done one. I know you've done the year and a half roughly, or 550 days. You have a friend that's done a 7-year run streak, so maybe I'm sure you've talked to her about hers before.
Yeah, I mean, she really just thought it was kind of dumb at the end. Okay. But yeah, I think she has a similar personality type to me, where it's like very type A, like have to get it done. And there was probably some benefits there for maybe the first like year or two or three. But after that, it just became one of those like things looming over you. And I think once she did finally break the streak, maybe just having a better relationship with running, and now she's like not afraid to take a day off when it's needing of her. So like if you go, there's so many things that happen within a day to day or month to month, year to year thing. Like let's say your husband's in the hospital or something, and oh, if all you're thinking about is, oh, I need to go get my run in, it's like, come on, you know, sometimes it's like, sometimes you don't need to get your run in. And I think it's, you have a better relationship with running when you're able to not have that looming over you like that. And I think, yeah, she really enjoys not having that run streak anymore.
Yep. Too much of a good thing can become a bad thing.
Definitely. Right? So yes. Everything in moderation, for sure. And while it is, it's probably like a better addiction than like drinking or doing drugs, right? You still have to be mindful of, any behavior can become addictive, right? Like social media is addictive, like anything. So just being mindful of like, do I have a healthy relationship with this or not? Definitely good to think about. And we do have people that we work with who are on running streaks, and sometimes they decide to break them, sometimes they keep them going, right? It's all about like you and your goals. And some people, they do have a healthy relationship with maybe having a streak for a couple years or whatever it may be, and you can definitely frame up training around that by having those like quote unquote rest days being like the really slow like 1-2 mile jogs. But we have a variety of coaches that have experience working with people with run streaks, and whether or not that's something that you're into, we would love to extend to you guys a free 7-day coaching trial if you fill out the form on our website, www.runforprs.com, and we can get you set up with a free 7-day trial working with a run coach. Again, that's www.runforprs.com. Thanks for tuning in.